Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, it's time for another Brick in the Wall with Alistair Anderson, Editor-in-Chief of Property Flash here on Classic Business, where we kick the bricks of the ever-evolving world of real estate. And today, there's a lot of buzz. The buzz coming out of Africa's property scene, because for the first time in its history, the API Summit is moving to Cape Town. The mother city is going to be hosting the 15th annual Africa Property Investment Summit on the 19th and 20th. So that's this Thursday and Friday at the Westin. And it's not just any gathering. It is the continent's most influential property event, and this year promises to be something truly special. We're talking about 500 plus leaders, investors, developers, over 30 countries all converging at the Westin to discuss where Africa's real estate market is heading. We've got great topics. PropTech is going to be a big focus. Green energy. A lot of the theme seems to be around impact, and I think a great place to host a talk about impact and partnerships, because Cape Town has certainly shown itself to be a leader in that space. And we've got a great lineup. Many of them are going to be at the event. Tom Riley, who's the Lango Real Estate CEO, Waldo Marcus, industry principal and head of marketing at MRI, Ni Adeleye, who is head of real estate finance for Africa regions at Standard Bank, and Wayne Godwin, co-CEO of JLL Africa. So probably the biggest panel we've ever ascended on the podcast. Alistair, I've got to ask you firstly, for those who don't know API, just how big is this conference?
I think this conference is becoming perhaps the most important property conference on the continent. It's been going for a good 15 years, and yeah, it's an exciting thing. And the fact that it's taken so long to get to Cape Town is also interesting. So I'm interested to hear from the panelists what they think about it shifting to the mother city at a very positive time. It seems for sentiment around investing in Cape Town. Everyone knows house prices just keep going up, and they had record numbers, for example, at the V&A over December. That's what Growth Point reported this week. So exciting times.
Tom, let's start with you. What do you think, and what are you looking forward to this year? What are the big trends that we'll be chatting about over coffee that you're really excited about?
I think for me, you know, this is a unique opportunity to bring together all the stakeholders in one place. You know, and I think the reality, as you mentioned earlier, is, you know, we play across multiple countries. You know, there are 30 countries that are represented at this event. And, you know, to bring all these people together in one place is so unique and really, you know, quite something from a networking point of view. So I think if we look at that as a backdrop, you know, what am I specifically looking for and what am I trying to get out of this? I think, you know, these type of events are always so useful in terms of gauging the level of interest, a barometer, so to speak, in terms of, you know, where the markets are, how excited people are about the future, essentially. And I think we're going to get something out of that, which I always find is so useful. You know, my personal, you know, aims for the conference are really it's networking, it's catching up with other stakeholders, with shareholders, with our financiers, one of them which is on the call with us here today. You know, just general participants in the market. So, you know, we've been busy with a lot of deals and so on, and I think there'll be a lot to talk about in that sense as well.
And the, you know, the market mood, certainly here in South Africa, has been one of renewed optimism with interest rates expected to come down. Ni, I've got to tee you up on that point. You know, having the lender in the room with us, it's always great to get your insights into how the banks are thinking about the African property market at the moment. What are you most looking forward to?
I think similar to Tom, obviously the opportunity to connect with clients, to engage and look at sectors or participants in sectors that you hitherto haven't been necessarily close to, or even participant in markets that you've had limited sort of activity for the period. It's always a unique opportunity to connect in one room. And, you know, there's certain, I mean, the themes, or should I say the conversation is really about the sector, but the niche conversations that evolve from there, create opportunities to explore or create connection points to develop further with hopefully sort of redirect energies in that sense. And I think from that perspective, there are emerging opportunities in the continent. So another opportunity to look under the hood again, perhaps.
If I kind of look at that, so we spoke, you know, Tom just spoke about doing deals. He's just done a deal, or he's in the process of doing a deal. And maybe that's a good question is, you look at HIPROP and ATTAC, those are two very established listed funds that have been exiting their position in Africa. And it's been a bit of a struggle for them. They've had different reasons, and they're now doing a deal with Lango, and you know that's to sell assets to Lango. And maybe to bring Tom in here, what's brought you to that deal? What is that deal about, and what is the deal flow like for a company like yours, which I think founded about 6 years ago?
You know, I mean, obviously, in every deal, there's someone exiting and there's someone entering, right? So, you know, for quite some time, you know, HIPROP and ATTAC have been looking to exit. That's been no secret. It's been in the public domain for some time. They've been talking to us for a long time on the transaction. But the reality is we, to a large extent, had pulled up the handbrake for a long time. I think we felt that the time to, you know, to grow needed to be thought through properly. And, you know, the opportunity had to present itself on the right terms. And I think we feel that we finally got to that point. You know, we spoke a moment ago about interest rates potentially changing, but the reality is we needed the pricing point to be right. And I think we've got to that point finally. So we see it as a highly accretive and highly opportunistic time to enter the market. We're coming through at a point that I think is going to bode very well for ourselves and our shareholders. And you know, I think we're looking at, you know, at the next few years at least with through a very positive lens, you know. So we see this. Obviously, there's been some pain across the continent. There's been pain in real estate generally across the globe, not just in Africa over the last few years. But we see that starting to change now. I think as long as it rebases, we can do deals on the right levels. We're very positive about it.
Yeah, that's great to hear, and certainly echoes a lot of the sentiment that you know, the CEOs of ATTAC, you mentioned, Alistair, Jackie Fenekak, was talking about that at their results this week. Wayne, just to come back to, you know, what you're looking forward to this week, and I think we've touched on a lot already. Anything specifically that you're going to be excited on?
Yeah, look, obviously just a lot of what's been said, but quickly, you know, anytime you take a conference like this, which Alistair absolutely was correct in saying it's probably the premier real estate platform conference for Africa. When you bring that to a new city, you bring a new audience with that. So I think there'll be a lot of Capetonian participants. There'll be a lot of people, you know, from abroad, international, regionally, coming there. And that's fantastic. You know, we want to shine a spotlight on the sector as you know, stakeholders. We want to engage with new parties. You know, it's we're very much at an early stage of Africa's growth from a real estate perspective. So the more participation we get, the wider the audience, the wider the market, the better for everyone.
And Waldo, I'm curious, you're the industry principal at MRI Software. It sounds like a fancy title. So maybe you could just share a little bit more about your work and how it ties into PropTech at API. There's a real big focus on PropTech, which really excites me. And I imagine there's a lot of data involved. So how are you going to be presenting in a way that really excites us about PropTech at the summit?
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, we've been involved with the Africa PropTech Forum for quite a few years, and we continue being a lead sponsor. And for us, it's twofold. One, to connect with our clients, the investors, as well as occupiers. I think this year's API introducing hospitality, retail, speaking to those that sit within those investments and the asset classes, what is their needs? What are their outlook? Because that ultimately will inform the growth within South Africa, but also in Africa itself. We're one of the largest prop tech providers, and it spans both investors, property owners, as well as occupiers. And for us, we really want to see what is happening in the market from a PropTech perspective. PropTech is completely interlinked. and everything works together to ultimately provide the assets to perform on various levels, be it facility management, be it energy, be it compliance, accounting. And for that, we need to be an open and connected environment. You know, there's so many intricacies around it to ultimately make it easier for the investor, the financiers, to understand those performances. And for us, it's really about seeing what is happening in the market from a property technology perspective, and also to share some of our insights around what we've seen globally. We've definitely seen an uptick in South Africa as well as into Africa, and the number of clients that's been reaching out, larger portfolios, that's looking at consolidating portfolios and need the software to be able to provide the insights that's needed on demand to ensure that they run efficiently and to simplify their processes, which ultimately go back to operating costs, input costs, time saving. And traditionally, you know, the market has been very slow to move. Property's been slow to move. And since COVID, it's really accelerated. Adoption of new technology, decision making is no longer a 5-6 month conversation. It's really become, what can you provide with me almost in real time on a specific asset performance? And that's why we continue doing it. From a sharing of data perspective, we always look at the South African residential and commercial rental market. And you touched on on Cape Town. Cape Town has been performing exceptionally well. And I think that is also a big draw card for a lot of conferences, including API and APF hosting in Cape Town. It's an attractive spot, direct flights from all over Africa, but also from other countries. For instance, our headquarters for MRI Africa is based in Cape Town.
Yeah.
It's easy to attract and retain good talent in that city. And there's a few other conferences that took place. So it's really good to see that you know, they're bringing it and also spreading for those who companies who do not want to always travel or can't afford to travel to these conferences, to other cities, diversifying it is a really, really good placement.
So Wayne, I mean, Waldo speaks about, I suppose, property deals becoming a bit faster now. You know, there's tech that's helping people are communicating more easily. I mean, you're at JLL, and you know, maybe a lot of people on the call don't quite understand what JLL does. So maybe my question's asking, you know, what is your role as a CEO at JLL, and what are you seeing here on this continent? Because it's huge. It's a lot of young people, but it seems like people are returning. And I'm just wondering, you know, post-pandemic, what do you think is driving people? And maybe you know, kind of connected to that, why should people then come to API and take Africa more seriously if they haven't maybe been there before?
So look, I mean, I think the real estate sector is a vastly sort of dynamic space, a built environment, whether that's on the development side, the capital markets transaction side, you know, there's so many different layers to it. And I think from a JLL perspective, we're one of the largest global real estate advisors across that full spectrum, you know, whether that's the fit outs, the build, the project management, capital markets, valuation, advisory. We pretty much do it all across the globe. So, and of course, my role within Africa is leading that business for Africa. And we are a wholly owned, fully sort of fledged JLL office, fully plugged into the global business. And really, that's what it's about. And the goal is to bring those best practices, bring that connection to global capital, bring that connection to global occupiers, and allow and facilitate that a lot of parties, so not just investors, but occupiers. Professionals coming into the sector to see it mature. But importantly, and it's going to sort of bridge into your question, I mean, the African real estate sector is still fundamentally driven by regional and local players, right? And that's a very critical kind of focus for us. So in terms of your question around, I guess, returning players, and particularly on the investor side. Look, I think this year we have seen a recovery, certainly in cross-border capital globally, and a bit more or higher investment volumes. But of course, with interest rates taking longer to come down, maybe not quite as much as we would have hoped. I think for Africa, it's still quite slow on that front, to be honest, Alistair. I think 2024, there are deals being done. We've just spoken about Lango's deal, but that's obviously a regional player in terms of attracting new capital and new investors. It's not necessarily at all firing at all systems at this point. But where I think there is important activity, and then we've got to sort of focus on that, is more on the sort of the sovereign side. I think more geopolitically, we're seeing a lot of infrastructure development, the likes of Lobito Corridor. We've seen announcements in Kenya around Nairobi, Mombasa. I think those are critical. I think we see the port infrastructure, a lot of focus from some of the Middle Eastern operators into African ports, airports. That infrastructure, there's always a real estate component to it, right? And I think that certainly we've seen a big kind of recovery quicker than what you would typically would see on the sort of private equity side or investor coming in. And that's, we saw a lot of the rise of kind of euro bonds previously, right? And then the pandemic really sort of made that set that as a challenging environment. But the demand side of the economies across Africa are still pretty good. Nine of the 20 fastest growing economies in the world will be in Africa this year. And increasingly, it's not just that headline growth, it's how economies are growing. So a shift towards, your tertiary sectors of the economy from your primary sectors of agriculture, growth, exponential growth in city GDP versus overall country GDP, and better correlations with real estate, we feel, as these economies not just grow but mature. So the demand side is pretty good. It's really been the supply side of the economy that's the challenge, the monetary supply, your interest rates, inflation, currency, etc., that has been a global challenge. But of course, because we had, the thinner sort of fiscal sort of base and high Eurobond levels, etc., going into this, it's just made it a lot more difficult to attract that investors into Africa at this particular point of the cycle. But like I say, the demand side is good and the long-term fundamentals are good. And we're seeing a lot of investment, maybe in sort of a bit more of a kind of broader sense, that's certainly still coming in, and we're very, very positive about those fundamentals.
Well, I've certainly been very critical of our own Reserve Bank being overly hawkish, given what we've seen, real interest rates at 7%, amongst the highest we've ever had. When Jill Marcus was governor, our real interest rate was closer to 3%. Prior to COVID, our interest rates were at 10%, not 11.75. And there is a disconnect, but we are seeing rates come down. The ECB slashed last week. And Nii, maybe to bring you in from the bankers' perspectives, I know through COVID there was a lot of, shall we say, questionable valuation in the market that was probably washed out. A lot of the loan to values have come down. So as a banker, what are you seeing as we now are really at the cusp of a new rate declining cycle around the world? What excites you about the opportunities in the African market?
Thanks for that. So obviously, the funding paradigm or the funding realities in property is very heavily linked to interest rates. Obviously, the higher the interest rates, the lower your debt capacity. And with lower debt capacities, you kind of see deal flow stifled. So I guess with the improving or with the reducing sort of interest rate horizon that we're seeing, the expectation is that deal flow will start to pick up. I guess you already see that with the deal that Tom's just closing out at the moment, and we'll expect to see more of that. From a Standard Bank perspective, it's of interest to us to be an active participant in the development of that sector on the continent, across the continent, and that remains a key objective for us. So it's about ensuring that we participating, but also innovating. And it's really about supporting clients, finding solutions, impacting, you know, quality of life in the markets that we are in. One of the things that is a component for us is that in many of the African markets, we are physically present, and that means that our presence should come with impact. It shouldn't be benign, and that remains an objective for us. Helping participants like Lango, and other sort of large participants in the sector and small, find solutions to the deal opportunities they want to pursue. So that remains a critical objective for us. I mean, this year, if you think about within the last 12 months, a number of the key African markets have gone through some macroeconomic challenge or the other. But what you're finding is stability. And the fact that you are actually present there means that you have to take a through the cycle view of your activity and your support structure, whether it's financing or in the different ways you support the clients across their aspirations.
Well, if I bring you in here, you know, you look at so much data through MRI, et cetera. You've got a, you know, a long career of this. I mean, what kind of thing would you say to people that are coming to API? Well, what myth do you think could be debunked by them coming to API and attending such a rich conference? I'm just wondering, is there something that, yeah, a myth or a message you'd like to send to people saying this is why you should come and look at, you know, African property, not just South Africa?
I think generally, most property investors are usually very confident and very, very enthusiastic about the economies that they look at. They have to be putting in billions of dollars into the ground that you can't just liquidate very quickly. So you need to have the confidence and understanding which countries is ready for more investment. From a why attend the API conference, it's not just about connecting, it's to really understand what is happening in the market, where the opportunities lie, and then come with the challenges that you are currently experiencing and find the solutions that is being presented in the panel discussions as well as their presentations. So usually we've got one or two big hurdles to overcome to increase our asset base or to improve efficiencies, and we don't always have the answers as an individual company. Within these events, it brings numerous people together with their unique skill set, and they bring their solutions to the table and explaining what is some options available. So I think, again, apart from the networking and seeing what is happening within the industry and where opportunities really lie, it's also about solving some of your problems and challenges.
Yeah, and learning from each other. I mean, that's always what I find. The power of these conferences is just in the people in the room often and in the side halls. And you know, the Westin's a fantastic venue as well. So looking forward to it, chaps. Thank you very much for your participation. We're just going to take a quick break here on the Another Brick in the Wall podcast. And when we return, we've got Brian Sango, Chief Growth Officer of Hume, and the founder, Erhard Wolfhard. Because they have been nominated for the most innovative real estate company, and we're going to find out what makes them tick after the break.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.